Welcome all to the Fendrian Team Car for this week's podcast, which is brought to you in association with our friends at velorooms.com. If you want to have some fan reaction, some fan posts, opinion, comment, chat, maps, route analysis, highlight reels, just about everything, then visit www.velorooms.com. If you're not already a member, register, it's free. They don't want to know your inside leg measurement or every detail about your life. But what they will do then is give you lots of great posts and the ability to comment, interview pro riders, everything. It's a fantastic community, online community for cycling fans. And I heartily recommend that once this podcast ends, of course, not before, but once this podcast ends, you get along there and get involved. And thanks to them for letting us broaden the podcast horizons by being part of Velo Rooms and by publishing this in association with that fine piece of internet web space. So thank you. So yeah, this is week 20. So, you know, the podcast existed pre-VR, but, yeah, we've got to the 20th consecutive week without a break. As promised a few weeks ago, we are going to be taking a backseat and a break from podcasting for a short period, but right now is not that time because we're in the meat of the Tour de France. So last week, we left the Tour, heading towards the Mossy for Centrale, and we had a Peter Sagan yellow jersey, and we were crowing about how brilliant life was being British. And because Mark Cavendish was winning stages, and Mark Cavendish has won another stage since then, and Stephen Cummings has won a stage as well. You could almost call it now, I think people are starting to call it now, a Cummings-esque move. He went a bit further out. He seems to be going from further and further every time he wins an event. You know, he'll be attacking the previous day to win a stage soon. But fair play to the lad. Again, he managed to outwit some companions in a breakaway, make it stick, and he hung on to the line. It was an incredible day of attacking. Greg Van Avermaet had taken the yellow jersey, the former KSK Beveren goalkeeper, as we like to refer to him as. So Greg was in yellow after a brilliant ride. And he also got in the breakaway the next day as well. Very rare to see the yellow jersey go on a breakaway, and unless it's Lance Armstrong who's fed up with someone. But yeah, he went and actually added to his advantage. The stage was probably will be best remembered for the, you know, the YouTube what happened next bloopers. I don't think they're called bloopers anymore, are they? They're called fails. The fails reel that will show the Flamme Rouge coming down and hitting Adam Yates squarely on the bonce and knocking him off. But apart from that, you know, you take that kind of out, the massive Centrale stages saw a Van Avermaet yellow jersey, brilliant attacking riding. And I don't know, for me, people seem to wait 49 weeks of the year for the Tour de France to come round, and then spent 3 weeks whinging that it's not as good as it used to be. For me, you know, there's been plenty in this Tour de France to keep you interested, to keep you happy, and keep you entertained. And, you know, of course, it's about opinions. Some of you might think that actually hasn't been, and it's been dull. But, you know, ultimately, it's the Tour de France. It's 3 weeks of the year. Let's enjoy it and get behind it. Not quite in the way that some roadside fans, as we arrived in the Pyrenees, had been doing. But besides that, you know, I can't see the point in whinging about it. It's the Tour de France. Yes, we can analyse. Yes, we can be tactical. You know, make a tactical analysis and an appraisal. And as people who like to have a comment and an opinion on the event, then that's, of course, that's what we do. But by the same token, don't just knock it, because, you know, it's the one Tour de France per year that we have. There we go, rant over. So that kind of took us into the Pyrenees, and on the first day in the Pyrenees, there was a full day, there was the Chris Froome stage win, which I think has divided opinion. It's certainly divided opinion even amongst people who only have a passing interest in the Tour de France. One of my neighbours only ever sees me going out on my bike, training and coming home, and sometimes if it's not cold and raining, so virtually never, we stop and we have a chat. We talk about how hard it is cycling in the Fens, and of course how an hour into a gale force headwind is probably the equivalent of riding the Tourmalet, which is obviously what I claim. But he's never really had a passing interest in the Tour. This year, we had an in-depth analysis at the end of the driveway on whether or not Chris Froome meant that attack over the Parasord, or whether or not, you know, his funky chicken descending style was a, you know, a byproduct of something that, he just happened. It was spontaneity, and for me, it wasn't. I can't imagine that, you know, he was going for the other mountain points on the other climbs. I think that was all a ruse to set him up for this descent. A lot of people have come out subsequently and said that the descent of the Parasord is twisty at the top, fast in the middle, twisty at the end type thing, and you know, there is an opportunity to preserve leads over the top. I can't imagine Sky didn't have the data or the analysis behind them to know that. So, you know, there's no accidents with Team Sky. And I think that, Froome, it was a premeditated assault to get the jersey. And, yeah, it was interesting to see where Valverde, Quintana, Port, Van Garder and etc. were. And the answer was nowhere, really. They didn't seem to want to chase. And maybe with hindsight, at the end of the 3 weeks, that will prove to be a good decision, because, of course, Pierre Roland did try a little bit of a chase and managed to scrape himself down the side of a wall. So there is, you know, there is the feeling that maybe it was the right decision to just let Froome go on his mad moment. I'm still going to predict, as I have, you know, in the build-up to the Tour, I'm still going to predict a Quintana win. I don't see Froome winning it. And there's two schools of thought here. You could look at the run down the Parasord. You could even take into account the next day's stage to Arcalis. Okay, there was no stage win really because they'd let a break go. But you would have expected Froome to try and put some time in to Quintana. We've got this fabled feeling that Froome fades in the third week. He's already in interviews, got a very hacking cough, which, you know, it was an infection, a chest infection, a bronchial infection that slowed him down in those last few days on the stage to, or through Montvernier and then the Alpe d'Huez stage last year. It almost looks to me as though Quintana's happy to bide his time, and rather than try and overtake Froome, he's going to let Froome come back to him. And that's my opinion. This time next week, Froome might have dominated the Vontu in the time trial, in which case I will probably say, yeah, sorry. But for me, that's how I feel it's going to go. I'm not sure whether the Vontu will be the decisive stage. It may be, but I just get that feeling that Quintana's probably more happy than Froome, and maybe even that you know, his downhill attack was the first sign of desperation that he knows that he needs to get Quintana off his wheel to give himself the best possible opportunity of retaining the yellow jersey. Time will tell, but it's actually set up fascinatingly in the overall. The green jersey, I think, is over as long as Peter Sagan, you know, doesn't do anything daft. Cav's had a good crack at it, but the transitional stages over the next couple of days will be key. I think Sagan probably will get points, and if that's the case, then I think Cav will either go home or have a little think about Paris. The sprinters have been brilliant this year. It's been, you know, okay, so it's maybe only been the last sort of few Ks that things have really got going. But when they have, they've been pretty good sprints. I think the on-bike camera stuff from Velon, much maligned, has added to that experience. There's some great footage of Greipel and Kittel going at it in a sprint finish that I really enjoyed watching. King of the Mountains could be interesting. I think that Pino's got to do something, and I think it's his way of salvaging the Tour. So let's hope that that's the case. I think in terms of riders of this first period of the Tour, the white jersey Adam Yates has probably won that competition by some considerable distance, an official Fendrian competition. So it's all set up beautifully poised. And as per usual, our 10-minute rant, our 10-minute condensed look, our 20th 10-minute look at the week in cycling is drawing to a close. So thanks to everyone who has listened, downloaded, hopefully shared, hopefully told your friends. You can interact with us. It's Fendrien EU, FENDRIENEU, .tumblr.com. And search for us on Twitter and Facebook if you want to get in touch and tell us what you like, what you didn't like. Thanks very much, and we will be back at the same time next week, where we'll have a much greater understanding and knowledge of where the yellow jersey is going. So thanks very much, guys, and we'll speak to you soon. 20 episodes, eh? It's been good. Speak soon.